Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
It's the list and your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is May 5th, 2021. Sinkhole de Mayo, as it's referred to. I have a sinkhole in my yard, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's very frightening.
Make sure you don't drive a car into it. I've seen videos.
There's no access over there. But yeah, we've got a pretty sizable sinkhole in our side yard. It's concerning. I can't wait to get out of this town. But you know what? Everybody's here. It's Listen to Boy 213. Please leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe. Tap the bell for notifications. I can't tell you how much leaving the thumbs up and sharing the video helps. But donate a super chat. You'll get your question or statement read on the air. If you want to ask more questions, well, I got a Q&A show going up every week. You get your question asked every single week over there, FightfulSelect.com. And Jimmy, we broke a big one over there this week.
You know, this used to be Floyd Mayweather Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it did.
It did. He used to fight Cinco de Mayo every year.
It's a big boxing day. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And Mayweather used to always fight on this day. He did it a lot. Yeah. I have a question for you before we jump into the first topic. I have to ask Sean Ross Sapp a question.
Okay.
What do you think of Bubba the Love Sponge?
He's ridiculous. What a worthless piece of garbage he is.
I saw you go off on him talking about the Savage Doc, and I was like, I so have to ask Sean Ross Sapp about
that. They took out the wedding snake story so they could fit Bubba the Love Sponge's stuff in. Not directly because of it, but you could have went completely without Bubba the Love Sponge in that documentary, or I don't know, the fake Jerry Lawler story, or I don't know, Dan Soder talking about how it's such a macho man way to die.
That was bad.
I can't believe that made it through. They misspelled Lex Luger's name. Like, who is doing the work here? Who's doing the editing on this?
Soder was bad. And he even kind of acknowledged it as he's continuing to talk. It was bad.
I think he got like two lines in and he's like, I got to fix what I just said. But that's when you turn to a producer and you say, hey, do not use that.
Yes.
Please don't use that. Which apparently people do not do with A&E because Vince McMahon let that Roddy Piper thing run last week too.
That's because Vince thought it was funny. He still did.
I'm sure he did, but you could tell he also thought the same thing because right after he went, Roddy's in heaven. He's not in hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Bubba, I would like to know why he was included at all. I understand he's friends with Hogan and I understand that the radio show was a bone of contention for Savage, but you didn't need Bubba. Hogan could have talked about that.
I even said, I literally don't even want Bubba the Love Sponge involved if they do a documentary on Hulk Hogan's sex tape. Like, I don't want him involved in that either. The only footage I want to see of him is him getting his ass whipped by Awesome Kong, which would be very funny because Vince Russo had to pull her off of him. And I just think that'd be a funny scenario.
Yeah, I also thought it was interesting that he apologized. Bubba the Love Sponge, he apologized. But then he also made fun of Savage again.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting that he apologized, but he didn't come off well. He didn't come off.
And
well.
I'm all for people making amends and fixing things. And it seemed very much like Hogan and Savage legitimately did. And I saw what I considered a remarkably honest Hulk Hogan, all things considered, in this. They do really good with that, A&E does, having people like Honky Tonk Man and Hulk Hogan, who are usually really self-absorbed. Either they're good at editing out all of them putting themselves over, or they've just got the honesty. I mean, Bret Hart put over Roddy Piper an awful lot, which he always does. But
oh, yeah, they loved each other.
They're pretty good at that, so I wonder how much they had to filter through. But not enough, because so much of that should not have even made air.
Do you know what Bret and Piper called each other?
Cousins.
That's right.
Yeah, it was on the documentary. I watched
it. Oh, well, I don't even remember, but I knew already, because they had talked about it. Apparently, one thought there was a lineage to the other somehow.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's interesting. So, I guess we'll turn to the big story of the week, which is about, I don't know, RK Bro's match on Raw, Sean. Is that the big news story of the week?
Or Dante V says Daniel Bryanson. Already thinking of new names for him. Bryan Danielson versus SRS in a Blue Chew on a pole match. Book it, Jimmy. You can have a lot of matches on a pole if you take Blue Chew, but we'll get there.
You know how expensive Daniel Bryan would be if we tried to get him in a Blue Chew on a pole match?
Very expensive.
He'd be expensive. So go ahead, Sean. I'll turn the floor over to you. What's the latest on Daniel Bryan? Or do you want to just sum up everything so far?
I can provide the information that we've published out there. FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe, guys. I can't tell you how important it is. The more you subscribe, the more opportunities we have to search and get stories like what we did last night. Daniel Bryan's WWE contract expired, I'm told, at midnight after his match with Roman Reigns. Now, initially, I was told this by a source outside of WWE, and it is a very, very high reputable source, as Jimmy knows who it is. We're not going to say them on the air, but a pretty high reputable source within the industry. And I quickly got it confirmed with people within WWE.
You sure it wasn't a guy from another website that confirmed it?
Come on, let's not do that. Evan Wright mentions Bryan Danielson and Samoa Joe's free agents. Lord, also a guy by the name of Brock Lesnar is a free agent right now. And Andrade is a free agent right now. This is and CM Punk, if he ever so chose to come back, free agents right now.
You could literally have a new third wrestling company.
Yeah.
And you would have the building blocks, the foundation for a new third wrestling company, which is unbelievable. Even though a lot of those guys are in their 40s now.
Yeah. But, so yeah. I talked to WWE talent and they said, yeah, we've heard this. His deal was up. Now I got to reiterate, I don't know if like 12:05 AM rolled around and he walked up to Vince McMahon and he said, I want to sign a new deal. I don't know. I just know that his deal did expire at midnight after the Roman Reigns match. And they moved him to the alumni section, of course, but I've spoken with people from Ring of Honor. They expect that there would at least be an offer made, and boy, do I have more on that in the coming weeks. As Jimmy can also attest, this led like to a domino effect, and I heard some of the most just psychotic stories across wrestling because of this. In reaching out to other sources, there was some weird stuff that emerged that had nothing to do with Daniel Bryan as a result of this, but Ring of Honor is expected to at least reach out, I would imagine.
Everybody will, of course.
Yeah. But I mean, you know what? I don't make my money by assuming, Jimmy. It's not what we do here. I talk to people and they tell me. So I can't just say, oh yeah, they're gonna, because we expected everybody to reach out to CM Punk as well. And if you listen to CM Punk, nobody's really made a firm offer in that regard. So we can't definitely assume on that. AEW talent that I speak to seem to think that he's going to stay in WWE, and maybe he will. There's a lot of things that go along there. I had somebody, a subscriber, not to disrespect him, but they said, oh, well, Daniel Bryan lives in the most expensive part of California. He can't maintain that lifestyle working the indies. And I was like, buddy, he has worked in WWE for a decade, making six figures, and the last few years, high six figures. His wife has been getting a WWE paycheck for a very, very long time. Yep. They were getting two reality show paychecks. they don't ever got to work another day in their life to maintain their lifestyle.
They definitely don't need to worry. No, and he also comes off as a quite the frugal guy. I don't think you're going to see him in there, you know, in a castle made of marble. You know what I mean? So yes. I think he's fine. To me, you know, you told me about the story last night. Sean texted me and told me, and the first thing I thought of is this is a big news story that was so obvious. That's kind of how I look at it. It was a big news story that was so obvious on multiple fronts. The first one is, you know, he did an interview with TV Line. And in the interview with TV Line, he alluded to, because I think the interviewer asked him about, you know, your contract's up in September. And he alluded to the fact everybody says it's up in September, but it's not. He didn't say when it was up.
Yes. And I need to reiterate that because I had several people who apparently didn't lack the or didn't maintain the context in that they said, oh, well, he said it was up after. No, he didn't.
He did not.
He just said it's not up in September.
That's right.
That's it. And that's on our own contract expiration thing had it listed as then. We had to correct that. That's why we can only put what we know on those contract expiration things on Fightful. It's under our resources section if you guys want to check it out. But also, I got to give credit to the people who did that interview, TV Line, because they put in brackets and parentheses. He was tight-lipped about when his contract expired. That means they tried to find out.
Right.
And I got a ton of respect for them, who probably aren't wrestling guys, going and adding that context, because it was invaluable to this story right here.
Yeah, and in addition to that, you know, you look at the fact that Brian, the thing about Brian, he's been so public in interviews that it makes this, like I said, not shocking because he's been so public in interviews. He's talked about how he's turning 40 this month. His health is top priority. He's got two little kids. He told a story about my daughter likes me to put her on my shoulder so she can pick leaves off a tree. My health is like so important to me kind of thing. He's also really put over Kenny Omega a lot publicly in interviews. Yes. He likes that Omega's wrestling for different companies. And he's alluded to the fact that he wished that WWE was more open to working with other companies. So when you take all of that into account, and then on top of that, they effectively wrote him off on SmackDown.
Yes.
That's effectively what they did.
He lost had a concerto.
Right. So he lost the match. The match had the stipulation that if he lost, he'd be barred from SmackDown. That was the stipulation. He lost clean. He took a concerto. Roman Reigns, who is just so awesome. Did you see his video doing cardio?
Yes.
Here's a quote from Roman Reigns. So after the match, Roman Reigns put a video out. He was doing cardio. This is after the match on SmackDown. He said, this was addressed to Daniel Bryan. He said, go have fun, be a dad, save the world, hug a tree, whatever you want to do. And he essentially moved on from Daniel Bryan. That to me is a write-off.
I love it.
Yeah. And so he can do whatever he wants. And so I'm not gonna make any kind of a prediction about he's gonna stay, he's gonna go. It sounds like he wants to test the water somewhere else.
Yeah.
Who knows? And because you have to look at it like this too. Look at what WWE is doing, and we'll talk later about MLW, you know, even NXT, Evolve. Maybe that would be enough for him. Maybe he's like, you know what? Let me go work some stuff with MLW. Let me go do some stuff with Evolve when the borders allow it. Let me go do some stuff with the Japanese company. Whatever, maybe that would be enough to appease him. I guess we'll see. Until then, it's his decision. But yeah, good for him, man. He's had a good run.
I constantly say this. I cannot understand the motivations of a millionaire, much less a millionaire artist like Daniel Bryan. I don't know what he wants to create. I don't know how he wants to prioritize things in his life. And we have a ton of super chats about this. Christopher Dignam says, would Total Bellas be affected if Bryan worked for AEW? Always curious in how the reality show counted towards his contract. Maurice doesn't work for AEW, but she's not under, I don't think she was under WWE contract anymore.
Yeah.
I think they would probably just say, you know what? If viewership numbers are good, he's not going to care that much. Maybe WWE would, but I think they would get over it because,
I think so.
Because quite frankly, what's Brie Bella doing in WWE right now? There's little WWE connection there.
Yeah.
Hannah M says they probably make as much, if not more, off Total Bellas plus Brie's companies. Yeah, they're doing well. The family's doing well. Almanac says Yoshihiko, Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar, Andrade, all free agents. Epic, sir. That first name got coffee all over my monitor. Do you know who Yoshihiko is?
No.
It is the blow-up doll that Kenny Omega wrestled.
I've seen that footage. Okay.
It's very good. It's very good, actually. Kurt Benoit says, got your high reputable source right here. Very clever. Very clever. Zach says, percentage chance Daniel Bryan pulls a Lex Luger on AEW tonight.
Zero.
I wouldn't say zero. I would say 15%.
I'll go 4.
I think anything's possible.
Anything's possible. You're right. But I just don't see Bryan being that kind of guy unless he told Vince in advance and Vince said, you got my blessing, which he very well might have. I just think it's a very low chance.
Frankie Aguilera, thank you very much for the compliment. I really appreciate that. It means a lot. Some stupid punk says, would you say Daniel Bryan in a blue chew in a pole match would be hard to get?
It's cute.
It is. It is. And he also says, hello, legends. Just sending a chat to show some love. Having an awful day and your show always helps. Thanks again for your awesome work. Well, thank you for caring. I really appreciate that.
I've had an awful day in the stock market, Sean Rossap.
I've had an awful 3 weeks in the stock market. Lost thousands.
Did I tell you about a major lesson I learned about naps? Did I tell you about that?
No.
There was one day a couple of weeks ago where, got the kids ready, whatever. And I decided I'm just going to lay down on the bed for 10 minutes. And that 10 minutes turned into like 2 hours.
Oh, no.
So I missed the opening of the market. And when I went and checked, one of my stocks had gone up by like 30 points and then immediately nosedived. And I missed the window.
Oh, no.
And I saw that and I thought, all because I wanted 10 minutes.
Oh. So, well, guys, you haven't missed your window to super chat. Please get those in. We'll be talking about Daniel Bryan on and off throughout this entire show. It's not done yet. Brandon Charles Powell says, love that Steve Macklin interview. So cool how he handled the Riker tweets. Bummer how things worked out in WWE, but I hope he and Blake find great success in the wrestling business elsewhere. If you guys aren't familiar with the name Steve Macklin, that's what Steve Cutler is going by now. We talked over an hour about everything. He was very transparent. I thought he came off really great in that interview. And I'm very excited. His vignettes are really, really good looking vignettes. Like, to the point where I hit him up and I was like, you doing some acting after this? Because they were incredible. Have you seen those yet?
Yes. So we've seen certain guys. EC3 is another one. They've put effort into production on their own independently. Yes. Good for them. I mean, the world we live in now, it's not hard to do, you know?
Speaking of putting in your own production, I touted like this earth-shaking sponsor that we have, Jimmy.
I'm waiting on this.
This show is brought to you by The Distraction.
The following is a paid ad brought to you by The Distraction. The Distraction has absolutely no affiliation with Fightful.com, Sean Rossap, and Jimmy Vander. The nonsense about to ensue is the sole responsibility of The Distraction and does not express the viewpoints of any of the aforementioned people. I mean it.
Thanks, Tony. Well, I can't believe I've reduced myself to appearing on another wrestling podcast hosted by two white guys. They don't even have long-term storytelling. They don't even pay off on bits. Imagine watching a podcast with no long-term storytelling, no payoff on bits, hosted by two white guys. If you want something a little bit different in your wrestling podcast, check out The Distraction. Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/Fightful. Long-term storytelling. Paying off bits, angles you can sink your teeth into. And yeah, it's hosted by two white guys. But I have my own shirt, and my co-host has an accent. If you don't think we're the best wrestling podcast in the universe, just check out this banner presented to us by AEW Main Eventers, The Chaos Project. Best wrestling podcast in the universe. Ignore that. The Distraction. Who are you to doubt David Arquette and a certified doctor, the original death dealer, and a Japanese deathmatch legend? Tomorrow, we have a tremendous, tremendous show for you. Quite possibly our best show ever. We're going to talk about blood and guts. We're going to talk about NXT, maybe. We're going to talk about WWE Raw. Probably not. We'll definitely talk about Daniel Bryan, if we feel like it. The truth is, we don't really know what we're going to talk about before we get there, but I promise you it's a tremendous show. And we don't know what we're going to talk about because we don't do lists. We don't do scripts. We get on air, we listen to our audience, we feed off of them, and they decide what we talk about. Because we are unscripted. We go against the grain. Lists? This is what we think of lists. That's what we think of lists. So, if you want something different from your wrestling podcast, no lists, no scripts, angles, bits, long-term storytelling, two white guys, The Distraction, Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/Fightful.
People can say they do our show. Nobody does our show.
They paid for that.
How much did they pay for that?
I don't know. We just gave him a raise, though.
JJ says you were, it's the best. Take that off the screen. You were very smart for not telling me in advance that you were going to do that. That was very wise of you for not telling me in advance. That's not Aaron again.
Really?
Yeah. So I hope that they paid enough for it. It's not Aaron again on this podcast.
Wow. Jimmy banning The Distraction. I love it. You know what? I just send the invoices, Jimmy. I don't decide who's on the air. Evan Wright says, Jeremy from 3, bang. JJ says, best paid ad of all time. Distraction is the best.
I am going to be looking for the incoming payment. I'm going to be checking my accounting team on the daily. Okay. I'm going to have them update me. Has the money come in on that ad read? Every day they're going to update me until it's come in.
Well, we already have gotten several super chats off of it, so it's almost paid for itself. Joel Pearl says, note to sell. Look, Joel Pearl, Fightful champion, sending us about
champion.
33 cents American here, saying stop boosting Jeremy's ego. Ah, man. Well, that's what they got the Daniel Bryan lead in for that ad read as well.
Yeah, let's move on. Do you want to talk more about Daniel Bryan, or do you want to move on to the next topic?
We'll get to it as people send super chats in for it, but please leave a thumbs up, guys. We do have Matt Reichel saying thoughts on AEW doing 100% capacity for Double or Nothing.
Yeah, that's on my list. I said to Sean, damn you lucky Americans.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. If they do media there, I'll go. I mean, it's a short notice trip, but you know what? Florida trips are usually not so tough to book. So,
yeah. I think Dealey's Place is about 5,500 capacity.
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't looked at the numbers in a while, but the last time I looked, the entire state of Florida had less daily new cases than the province of Ontario, even though Ontario has something like 7 times less people. So, cool. You know, fuck you guys. I can't even go to a hockey game, Sean.
I love that the paid ad led into this, and it's like I get back-to-back upset Jimmys.
Like, yeah. I'm so sick of this lockdown. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I'm fully vaxxed. I'm ready to go. I'm going to open mouth kiss all my friends. I'm ready.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
No more mask.
Giving out
smooches. Can you go eat at a restaurant? Can you go eat at a restaurant, Sean?
Yeah. Yeah, good. I finally did. Finally got to last week. Smooching everybody in Jacksonville. I'm going to try to go to Slammiversary Nashville that week as well.
What did it feel like to get served at a restaurant and sit down and eat a meal? What was that like?
It was very unusual. Actually, I didn't miss it that much.
Really?
I don't miss that or movie theaters that much, but I do miss like going out
and
seeing people. And that was very nice.
I said to my wife the other day, because my wife and I, you know, obviously with kids, we're busy now, but we'd like to at least go once a quarter. And I said to my wife, when's the last time that we went out for dinner? And she said, like 5 months ago. Like, Jesus, 5 months ago.
I went Jesus golfing last week, too. I streamed
saw it on social media.
Quite a bit. Evan Wright says, week 3 of requesting a Doug Ford Select rant. Maybe we'll do that. DJ Brian C said, Jimmy sent Jeremy to catering. Alvinox says, isn't there a bit too much Vince Russo and a Daniel Bryan on SRS's Blue Chew poll match? It ain't on my Blue Chew poll, buddy. That one's spoken for. Also, who the F is Bubba the Love Sponge? Use Google, man. I don't want to spend any more time on that piece of shit.
All I got to say is Hulk Hogan, Bubba's wife. That's it.
Yep. Kurt Benoit says, Jeremy looks like Keanu Reeves' less attractive brother who never made it past acting on the Home Shopping Network. Oh, my God. Ultra Real says, think any major surprises for AEW tonight akin to the winner is coming. Maybe TNA or New Japan show up and attack both teams after Blood or Guts. This would be an awful good night to do it, Jimmy. This stands a decent chance of being, if not their most viewed show, their second most viewed show.
Yep, I agree. Because the other thing, too, and I was going to talk about all this later on, but Not only do they have the stipulation of this match that's going to draw people in, it's essentially a War Games match, but in addition to that, it's not going to be too long before the preemptions are going to start.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have to rely on people following them around when the NBA playoffs happen. Next year, when hockey kicks in, they're going to deal with preemptions times two during the playoffs and whatnot. This is a definitely a great opportunity to get a big, big audience. They were down a bit last week because of the president's address or something in the States. So this is a good chance. So we'll see. We'll see if anything like that happens. And they also have Double or Nothing in, what, 3 weeks?
Yes, they do.
So
it's a big period for them. Hannah says, I finally get to meet her at Slammiversary. So blessed. Indeed.
And you guys have never met before?
Never met before. No. I mean, like, there were so many events canceled last year, obviously, didn't get to happen, so... Gutier says Jimmy burying his talent on the air. See, it's a hot topic, Jimmy.
I didn't bury anybody. I didn't bury anybody.
You said it's never going to air again.
I just said I'm not airing that again. No.
Well, not that one, obviously. JJ says, Jimmy, I have no idea how hard it was to get the paid ad as the head PR of the distraction, just doing my job, getting that buzz. They're gonna get a bump from this tomorrow. The distraction.
That's cool. Am I getting a bump? Because I know how much our ad reads typically cost us.
I mean, you own the show. So, I mean, technically, and yeah, it's rocking right now. Kurt Benoit says, dark prediction. 6 months after Vince leaves us, Tripp and Steph announce that they're separating. Dun, dun, dun. I don't want to speculate on that. No, no disrespect. It's just, I don't care to talk about people's personal life at all.
Yeah.
Like that.
Hell, I'll talk about it. That's never happening. Hunter well, would never be so stupid.
Josh sends a nice super chat and says, what do you want to see on the throwback SmackDown? I'd like to see Edge return Teddy Long to make a Roman and Jay versus Edge and Cesaro tag match main event. Teddy Long, slam dunk. Gotta have him. Do it.
I want to see Edge and Rey Mysterio tag team.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
They were hot during that period.
And yep. I want to see the fist. I want WWE to fist me hard.
Again.
Yes, I want them to fist me like they fisted me for years.
Yes, yes, yes.
So hard. I want that damn fist.
Teddy's
back.
A good one too, because Teddy's a classic. So they should definitely, maybe they can have Teddy introduce the Undertaker for just for shits and giggles.
That would be, that'd be funny. It like, and he's like, oh, he retired? Okay, somebody else. that would be good. I thought that would be a really good approach. Some Stupid Punk says, annoyed by Double or Nothing. 2 years in a row, I had ringside tickets and they moved it. I get why still.
Buddy, he means move the date, yeah?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I know you hate it, but I don't hate it for me because that weekend in Vegas was one of the most expensive of my life.
Of Jeez. Your life.
And Jimmy's.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm putting you up in dives and, you know, I'm feeding you McDonald's. And
crack house, like I said.
Crack house.
Man, yeah. Do I get to expense the Jacksonville trip and the Nashville trip?
Can we move on? Are you ready to move on?
Leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. What do you got next, Jimmy?
Hot button topic, the return of Eva Marie to television. And the first thing I want to note before we get into this, I am not suggesting that somebody should not be able to make a living. I'm not suggesting that Eva Marie should not have a job. So I don't want anybody to be like, you know, who are you to say that she should? Has nothing to do with that. Yes. The reason I'm bringing this up is because it feels to me like a lot of wrestling fans, particularly female wrestling fans, are concerned that WWE is regressing when it comes to the women's division. And I saw on the post-Raw pod, Denise was really adamant about this, that she feels like they are regressing. They're going backwards. They're returning to the diva era. And there's a lot of things that you can look at as a reason to believe that. I mean, one of the obvious ones is the ring time on television. Like, how much screen time are the girls getting now compared to what they were getting?
Minutes. It is very reminiscent of that era. And we got Bill Hemmett saying, bring back the Divas title. No, don't.
No.
That is a bygone era. That is gone. It is done. So I published a report, I want to say a month or two ago, whenever the hell Johnny Ace got promoted.
Yep.
And there were people in the company in that very report that said they were fearful that a more Divas era type of content was coming back.
Yep. Yep.
And to me, that is such a dumb thing to do.
Now, the one thing that I would like to know, so anybody that's not familiar with John Laurinaitis, Johnny Ace, his MO back in the day, the thing that he was famous for was scouting girls through modeling catalogs. He was notorious for it. Everybody knew he did it. Alicia Fox was recruited through Modeling Catalog. Kelly Kelly was recruited through Modeling Catalog. I'm pretty sure he got the Bellas through a Modeling Catalog. Plus, who knows how many girls that never made it came by the way of that medium. And he was notorious for it. But here's my question. You know how Brian Gewirtz used to book a lot of toilet humor because he knew Vince liked it? And, yes. And he was almost trying to preserve his own job. I wonder if Laurinaitis went for that type of girl because he knew that that's what Vince wanted at the time. But whatever the case, that's what he did. So the fact that Johnny Ace is a head of talent relations, that's concerning to some people. In addition to that, you look at the fact that some of the people that they just let go were good in the ring. Mickey James was great in the ring. Chelsea Green, good in the ring. Peyton Royce is pretty good in the ring. They let them go. And now, of course, they bring Eva Marie in doing an Emma Lena style, you know, promo. And with all due respect to Eva Marie, when she was there 4 years ago, she wasn't exactly known for her work rate. She was known for her physical appearance. That was kind of why she was there.
The way that I had put it on Raw was she's not a better worker than Mickey James. She's not a better actress than Chelsea Green. She is not funnier than Peyton or Billy. She is not a better overall package than any of the four, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe she got better, but she hasn't wrestled since then. That doesn't indicate to me that she had some profound love for the wrestling industry or anything like that. And yeah. I got people saying, oh, well, maybe she's being brought in to manage Parker Boudreaux. He ain't ready. Stop saying that. It ain't him.
Why would he even make the connection between the two of them?
Because they hang out. Pictures on Instagram. And people think that because Parker looks similar in the face to Brock Lesnar, that he's got like that. That ain't it. And yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with Eva. Maybe they won't have her wrestle whatsoever. Maybe that'll be the situation. And if so, you know what? Maybe that'll be all right. I don't know.
We'll have
her job out in 1 minute. Who knows?
But maybe.
Almanox says, fire Mickey James and hire Eva Marie, definitely signaling the death of the revolution. It's again, another tone deaf thing.
Yeah, and a couple of the side notes to this one. Now, I saw that some people were upset because she used the term evolution when there was no Evolution 2 pay-per-view. I don't really care about that so much. It's just kind of something she said. But one side note I wanted to mention was, so Mickey James has been pretty public in alleging ageism and talking about how WWE wouldn't give me a shot because I'm 41 years old. Eva Marie's only 5 years younger than her.
Yeah, Eva Marie's 36 years old. A lot of people don't realize that. She got started very late.
Yeah. So you look at it like this. So she's not that much younger than Mickey James, and she's not anywhere close to being as good in the ring. And so why would you want to showcase her over Mickey? It's kind of a head scratcher, you know?
Yeah. And we got Aaron saying Eva Marie gets attention. This is why they brought her back. That ain't the right type of attention. Attention that makes people frustrated with the show is not the right kind of attention. I know that WWE thinks sometimes that that's the right kind of attention. It's not. You want the kind of heat that makes people watch and they want to see them get beat. But you know what they say, Jimmy? Evolution is a mystery.
Was she...
And it will be full of change that nobody's going to see because ain't nobody watching this show.
Was she a draw the first time around?
There were some segments that she did that would do okay numbers on like YouTube. But we're talking like the bra strap video where her top like fell off and stuff. But I would have to go back and look.
Okay. Well, there's another side note I want to mention, and this has to do with, of course, the one and the only Stephanie McMahon. And I hope you got this queued up. So she is, you know, somewhat notorious for tone-deaf posts. Y'all remember the whole Philanthropies of Future Marketing? This is something that she posted on social media on Sunday, May the 2nd. What if women's sports were given the same level of money and media attention as men's? When you air the games, people watch. If you promote them, people will show interest. If you invest in them, it will pay off. That was her posting a quote from somebody else. Of course, as you can imagine, as what happens with her a lot, she got crapped on a fair bit because everything that she put in that post, they're not doing with women's wrestling on television. Another tone deaf post by the future heir apparent to the corporate throne. But
WWE Raw has the on TV has the AEW, SmackDown, NXT, Impact, the fifth best booked women's division on TV. That's inexcusable. That's inexcusable with the amount of talent that they have. Nikki Cross just sitting around.
I mean, you think about where they were when Evolution happened. When Evolution happened, they had the best women's division in the world, and they were showcasing the girls. They were getting main events, and they weren't just being given 4 minutes of ring time.
Yeah.
Like, how, what happened? Like, how did this shift even occur? Was it because Becky Lynch went away?
I mean, I think so. And I think a lot of it's been laziness.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is lazy creative. And when I say creative, I don't necessarily mean the creative team. I mean, whatever makes it to my TV is what they refer to as creative. And it's very lazy. They have minimized stakes as much as possible. And that's not something that they should make a habit of. It, again, it all goes in a circle. The more important you make things, the more time you should give it or can give it. And the more time you give it, the more opportunities are created. This business is not rocket science, especially when it comes to creating interesting content. You have the best roster in the world. But yeah, this ain't it. What they're doing ain't it. It's relying on stupid Nia and Shayna feuds over and over and over, and it's the same old shit.
Same shit. Yep. Yep. Ugh. Yep. Well, let's shift gears and go back to Dynamite. So how much time? We kind of talked about this a bit last week. Blood and Guts tonight, so there are going to be more matches, not just the Blood and Guts match. They're going to be pre-taped. Apparently, the people live are going to watch them on a screen, and then Blood and Guts is going to be live, War Games style. Jericho, I saw in an interview, he said that it's going to be different than War Games because of the logistics of Daily's Place.
Yes.
But it's going to be, two rings, double cage, whatever. How much time do you think they're going to devote to this, and how bloody do you think that they will get on TNT?
I think they'll get plenty bloody. Look at Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker on a taped match. I think they'll get very, very bloody. I'm excited about this. I hope that it is a good mix of the old school and the new, because quite frankly, there were a lot of War Games matches that I didn't like. It was not an environment that produced a lot of excitement. That's why they took the lid off of it, the gauge top off of it for NXT. They wanted to provide a more exciting type of match. From what I understand, according to Sean Spears, they're not doing that this time. This is a big opportunity for them. They're going to have so many eyes on their show, so they got to do something special tonight.
Well, they don't have Sid Vicious in there, so they don't have to worry about that. Do you remember hearing about Sid Vicious?
I sure do.
Yeah.
That was nasty.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember when they showed him talking to Rick Steiner? Mm-mm. Did you ever see that? So at one point, I believe in the same match when he dropped Brian Pillman on his head, I think in the same match, he didn't realize the camera was where it was. Like, Sid Vicious didn't have awareness of the camera. And so he gets Rick Steiner in the corner, and he leans into Rick Steiner. The camera guy's literally inches away. He leans to Rick Steiner, and he goes, "Okay, man, you ready?" And Rick goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Okay, let's go." And then he Irish whips him across, and the audio picked up the whole thing. And I remember he got a little bit of heat for that, because that was a different time.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's Sid.
That's Sid. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Adnan Virk.
Oh, boy.
And, I'm getting some Mike Adamly vibes a little bit with Adnan Virk. And I want to emphasize again, I'm not suggesting somebody gets fired, because people always just they go to the height of whatever you're talking about and try to take it to another level. All I want to do is kind of talk about where he is a few weeks into the job. He has a very high profile job. And he has a job that criticism is warranted, because it's a very important, high-profile job that he has. He's a few weeks in. Obviously, he's got a long leash because Nick Khan referred him, and so he's not going anywhere. But to me, I'm not seeing improvement. And usually, week one to week two to week three, you see improvement, because either they get critiqued by the right people, they watch their own tapes, they kind of figure it out. He's making the same – he's got the same tendencies – week after week after week. And the one
he's gotten worse at it.
Maybe he's gotten worse. The one thing that he does that annoys me, and maybe there's two. One is he tries to do pop culture references, which you've thrown in the past. The other thing is he has a tendency of constantly throwing it to Graves and Saxon during matches. He does it constantly. And what he'll do is, as soon as the match starts, let's say it's, Charlotte and Dana Brooke, he'll be like, Graves, what does Charlotte have to do to win this match? Like, he'll just immediately throw it to them and have them carry it. And he does it all the time. Graves has to cover for him all the time. And I don't know, man. You got to see improvement out of this guy. We might have to eventually do a weekly segment on this podcast. Adnan Verkhzad. We might have to make that a weekly segment because
yeah, I already speak about it Monday ad nauseum, so I don't want to bore anybody. I'll go. You know what? I'll pull a U. I'll go the positive route. Thoughts on Pat McAfee? I think he's doing great. He's a breath of fresh air. He's natural.
I like him too.
He's just hammy enough to where you get that glimpse of early 90s, like Jesse Ventura stuff.
Yes.
And that's what I really
like. You know what else I like about him, Sean?
What's that?
He doesn't give a shit if they fire him.
No.
And I like it. It reminds me of the Dave Bautista WrestleMania press conference. Remember that?
Yeah.
Love it.
If I ever interview him, I will ask him about that.
Oh, that was awesome. I would love to hear his thoughts on that.
Have a bunch of super chats. Matt McClure says, Adam Lee, prayers up for Jeff Harvey.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Bezos says, said it on Raw's post show, and I'll say it again. WWE's about to milk Eva's 5-year-old heat, but refused to push Naomi, who trends on social media all the time. They got to get Naomi to trend for good reasons, not bad reasons.
Why does she trend for bad reasons? Like, give me an example.
I mean, not bad for her, bad because of their booking.
Okay, I got it.
When she trends, it's because everybody's like, I can't believe they book her this terribly.
Okay.
And that's I want to see them book her for a reason that gets her trending.
Right.
Because they leave money on the table with her every year. Mm-hmm. Even if I don't think that like she's like the top person, they leave money on the table with Naomi all the time.
I mean, she showcased her athleticism enough that we know she's got that. She's not a good promo, but she showcased her athleticism enough that you know she's got that. And they were able to capitalize with Bianca, and they're a different type of athlete, but they were able to capitalize with Bianca on that. Why can't they do that with Naomi? All they did was she would kind of do the Royal Rumble spots, you know, the creative Royal Rumble spots. That was about it. Otherwise, they haven't really gone out of their way to showcase her athleticism.
We've got a super chat from MC Carvalho that says WWE seems very committed to Eva Marie's character that's back. It seemed to me that she'll be wrestling. The promo sounded like a babyface promo. It's hard for me to tell what WWE's committed to at any given time.
She's laying on a Ferrari. I don't know. What the hell is that supposed to be?
Yeah, it's just I thought it wasn't that impressive.
Like let me say this. It's not apples to apples, but let me say this. You know I work in the advertising business.
Yes.
And I go to these conferences and I'll see these guys in their 20s showcasing their Rolex watch and showing pictures of their Ferrari and all. And I'll look at those guys thinking, you're the one that has no money. Because they're the ones that they feel the need. And whenever they brag about that stuff, they're not getting a babyface reaction.
Yes.
So are you telling me that Eva Marie standing on a Ferrari, she's going to get a pop for that? I don't know about that. That's a heel thing.
Matt McClure says, any news on Jericho's new role in AEW? He says he's going to do commentary on whatever upcoming show they're doing.
I saw that he was referring to himself as a consultant or something. He said, I'm not an EVP, but he said whatever title he used for himself.
He's been consulting since the start.
Since the start. Yeah. You're right.
Dante says, $5 for Hannah and the mods laying down the hammer. Somebody sent a super chat to say our mods were abusive. No, they're not.
You mean to people in the live chat?
They probably deserved it.
What can I tell you?
Matt McClure says, I love steak. Some stupid punk says, I love the Fightful mods. And Andrew Monaghan says, did you see Santino's strange tweet to WWE? If it's the one about his daughter, I don't think that it's that strange. It was like, hey, Triple H, Stephanie, remember my daughter, Bianca? She's a woman now, has been coached since day one to be a star, biology degree this summer. I've actually spoken with her before, Jimmy, when we were looking for on-air talent.
Really?
She reached out to us. So,
she's in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. I know that she was, I think, like a Miss Young Canadian contestant or something. She was in like local beauty pageants.
Looks like a star.
She's trained. Yeah. Is she trained?
Yeah. That's at least what Santino claims, but,
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if she doesn't at least get a look or something like that. Ian Glancy says, my thing with Adnan Verk is he was the baseball guy before, so the personality wasn't always needed, whereas McAfee has that from podcast stuff. Well, that's changing in baseball. I can tell you as a Reds fan, like they have switched it up, and you've got a whole new thing now, and you don't have the same old, well, the count is 1-2. The second baseman. It's not like that anymore. Like, it's exciting to watch baseball because of the booming voice that you have now. I grew up watching Chicago Cubs and Atlanta Braves games on TBS and WGN, and they were really boring and just like, so it was like a golf tournament, and that's just not the way it is anymore. So Virk would even have to adjust for that.
I mean, I understand that it's probably a confidence thing for him because he's a fish out of water, and Graves is well experienced, Saxon's well experienced and all of that. My issue is I don't feel like he's improving. I don't feel like he's, and I don't know if it's because he's getting the wrong advice. Maybe he's talking to guys like Kevin Dunn off camera that are giving him advice. I don't know, but he's not improving, and that's my issue with him. And the stuff that he asks, man, he had Drew McIntyre join commentary for the main event. All right. So there's your opportunity. You got Drew McIntyre, the former champion, sitting with you on commentary. Adnan Virk looks at him, and what does he ask him, Sean? Hey, Drew, what's it like to be hit by Braun? That's what he asked him. And I watched that thinking to myself, have you done any research? Have you watched the show before you started? Have you done anything to try to improve? Because that's my issue with him. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't know him. He seems like a nice guy. He's not making an effort, in my opinion, to improve. And that's my problem. I could not believe that he asked Drew McIntyre that, let alone the, where does Omos rank among the great champions we've seen?
Oh, yeah, that one was bad. I thought, like, the Drew McIntyre thing didn't bother me that much.
I thought he looked just stupid. I thought he sounded like a fan.
I thought it was just a way to put over Braun, but the Omos thing, woof.
Yeah, like he's not getting better.
Almanac says, how absolutely awesome was it to have Mauro back on commentary? Do we hope to get more of that? Yes, I think that it's nothing but good for Impact Wrestling. They have had Josh Matthews in the booth for years. They have had abysmal commentary for years until they got Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown, who I think are fine. I think they're good. But they had commentary that could quite frankly, make people stop watching the show. So I think it's very important.
Yeah, and people got to remember too, like Mauro, you know, he's the voice of Showtime.
Yes.
Like a lot of people that might not even follow wrestling, they might know who he is, you know? So, yeah, he's
Anakin
a good pickup.
Says they should have sold toy versions of Naomi's belt. Yes, they should have. They could have made a whole lot of money, and they didn't. Evan Wright asks if Connor is getting 1,100 this year. I don't know what that means.
Connor McDavid. Yes, he is.
100 points.
Yeah. So the NHL season is only 58 games. And right now, Connor McDavid, the number of points that he has achieved after whatever it was, 50 games, there's only two players in the history of the NHL that have gotten that many points after 50 games. And even you know who they are, Sean Rossap, Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux.
Yep.
Only two players, and now Connor McDavid is the third one. So, yes, he will get 100 points this year. But the NHL season, to me, is still imaginary.
We have a couple of AEW questions. JJ says, with Dynamite, Dark, Elevation, and the new TNT show, what the hell will AEW on the road tapings look like? I would imagine they'll do back-to-back days. I don't know if they'll do same venue, different venue. It would make sense to me to book the same venue, maybe configure it smaller for the next day or something like that. But I don't think they're going to be filming nearly as many Dark and Elevation matches as they are now. I think right now, the approach that AEW is taking, and this is my hunch, is we've got all these guys under contract. We might as well have them wrestle.
Yep.
We might as well build a library and then eventually sell that library. It's constant reps, Jimmy. There's as much as I... You know, I'm not keen on watching a million hours of wrestling a week. I understand why AEW is doing it. They got a roster. Use it.
I agree. I think it's content and ring work. I think it's those two things. The one knock on AEW always has been they have a roster of guys that have never been on TV, and they kind of threw them in the deep end. And we've seen a lot of learning on the job with some of these guys. You've got to get them ring work. And so, like you said, if you've got the venue there, you've got the cameras rolling, the guys are in the back, why not? I mean, they got to get the time in. So, yeah, I'm fully on with it.
Chris Rain says, do you think All Out happens at Chicago? Schaumburg, I'm fully vaccinated and ready to go. Yes, I do think it happens there. I think we're talking
September.
September. I mean, yeah. So I think it does happen there. Not having the Chicago event was the first time that I missed traveling, Jimmy. I was like, yeah, I've been to Chicago two or three times for wrestling over the past couple of years. And I was like, man, it feels weird.
I remember at the time looking at the books thinking, man, our expenses are so much lighter. What's going on? Things have improved so much.
Well, sorry, Jimmy. The world's getting back to normal, and so is my expense report.
Awesome. I'm going to have to get a part-time job.
Yes. Rob Vulcan says, JV, do you ever see wrestling contracts having options similar to other sports? Maybe WWE has an option to keep someone for a year, maybe an opt-out. They do have those.
I was going to say, I think they do already, yeah.
In fact, Mike Bennett and Maria have an option year on their deals. They straight up mentioned that. They are signed through this year, and there's an option for next year. So it is already a practice right now.
I recall something about Matt Hardy, too, about him talking about, yes. I can't recall if it was AEW, if it was his last WWE contract, but I remember there was something about that with his as well.
Yep. What else you got on the list, Jimmy?
Let's talk about the bright side of WWE Raw, because if RK-Bro was Randy Orton's idea, he is a damn genius. RK-Bro is a lot of fun. I really like it. When you consider what they had planned, Randy Orton, Braun Strowman, and just another throwaway match, and now they got RK-Bro. It's so much fun. I like everything about it. I like that people are just waiting for Orton to turn on him. I like that Matt Riddle stands in the ring marking out when Orton's doing his entrance. You see Matt Riddle standing in the ring clapping when Randy, like, it's just really great. I like that they're actually working together on double team moves now. They have a double team finish, sort of.
The DDT, the floating DDT bro.
Into the floating bro. And then as soon as he has the DDT, RKO is the other guy.
Yes.
So they're getting that down now. You can tell by Orton's face that he almost breaks sometimes.
Yeah.
So you can tell he likes it. And it's been great for Matt Riddle. Like, just two, 3 weeks with Randy Orton has elevated the stock of Matt Riddle. I really enjoy it. And I so badly, Sean Ross Sapp, want to see RK-Bro, Omos, and AJ Styles. And specifically, I want to see Randy Orton in the ring with Omos. Because yes. If there's one guy that's not going to take any shit, it's going to be Randy Orton. I want to see him in the ring with Omos. So please, WWE, give me RKO, AJ Styles, and Omos. I really like RK-Bro a lot. And is there anything in WWE right now, with the possible exception of Roman Reigns, better than RK-Bro?
No, I mean, okay, we exclude NXT from that because it's a different beast.
But I do.
I love it. I mean, I enjoy Riddle playing Mitch Murphy from Home Alone, the little kid that's going through the van, and what kind of gas mileage does thing get? I don't know, kid. Like, I love that. I think it's great, and I want it to continue long term.
I do too. I want them to win the titles,
and I want Riddle to eventually turn on Orton. That's what I want out of this.
I think that would be great because everybody's waiting for Randy to turn,
and
every week they're waiting for him to drop the RKO.
There are little intricacies that Orton adds that other people wouldn't add. It's that he's annoyed by this guy, but he's experienced being in the ring with him. He knows that Riddle can kick the shit out of people. And he's like, well, you know what? Help me kick the shit out of somebody. I think it's just so well played. And, you know, I've not talked to Riddle in a couple years. We don't exactly keep in touch, but when they have Drew McIntyre backstage flexing like Hulk Hogan and pretending that, it's dorky. That is not Drew. Drew fully believes he outworks everyone and anybody that doesn't have theirs. He's like, work harder. I did. Riddle, in a nice way, is a mark. he owned and was in our podcast background, assigned Jim Duggan 2x4. He's a huge fan.
He wore your t-shirt.
He's a huge fan of me. He would geek out over meeting wrestlers. Like, this is the type of thing that's him. And for all the people that were like, oh, I don't get the character. It ain't a character. That's him. That's him. Kurt Benoit. I mean, he's smarter than people give him credit for. We learned that during negotiation. But Kurt Benoit says, RK-Bro 2021 Rock and Sock connection. I mean, it's also a little bit. 2021 Thatcher and Riddle, or the deal that he had with Pete Dunne. He's really good at playing off of other people. Matt Riddle's comedic timing is off the charts. It's so good.
Like, I was laughing watching him react to Orton's entrance.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was hilarious. And I just really enjoy it. I want to see them take on different teams. I mean, now we've seen them against two teams so far. I want to see them continue on. Go old school. Give them a winning streak to get a title shot. That's how it used to be.
Bezo Banks says, how Orton didn't break when Riddle rode past him saying, hey, bro, after being hit with the tomatoes, I'll never understand. Such a breath of fresh air. Yeah. To me, when he goes, I don't know what planet you're from, Earth, that slayed me. And then he goes, we don't have much in common, except we're both from Earth. I just like, I'm like, oh man.
You and I know, no, they have a little bit more in common than that.
Yeah, I think that Orton has admitted publicly.
Yes,
that
he has.
He
yes,
says he,
has.
He pulls a riddle after shows. So.
I think I saw a pic with him and Snoop together doing that.
There you go. Yeah. Stellar Justin Lopez said, by the way, Justin, thank you for the WrestleMania cup you sent me. That was very cool. He says, I thought it was going to be a short-term thing leading to a Backlash match, but I want this to last as long as Team Hell No. Yes, Jimmy, tag titles at SummerSlam. Add more to the tag division. Raw, quietly, has a very, very good tag team division. Now, they just
lost one.
They just lost one. And
they got the Raiders are back, though. They're there.
The Raiders are back.
New Day's there.
New Day's there. You got Elias and Riker who can take all those pins.
Yeah, and you know what? Elias and Riker, they're actually making an effort on double team moves. Like you've noticed it on TV, they're making an effort. So I give them props for that.
Miz and Morrison, who knows if that'll continue. Lucha House Party, good in the ring. Not Retribution, I guess is their name. I don't know what the hell they're called. There are about 8 tag teams on Raw. So, I mean, there's teams over there. This is different than SmackDown, where you got 4.
Yeah.
4, if you're lucky. That just ain't good. But this RK-Bro being a team, I'm all for it. We've seen Orton do everything at singles. And Riddle is, I mean, all personal stuff and legal stuff aside, more talented than what they booked him.
I 100% agree. Yep. I still remember, I think it might have been in NXT, the first time I saw him do that gut wrench when his opponent's outside the ring and he basically powers him up and over.
Yes.
And I remember seeing that thinking to myself, man, like you look at him and you don't think that he can do that, but he can do that. Like he is very good in the ring. And I just love those guys together. They got a natural chemistry. I love that. It almost looks like he's trying to make Randy break.
Yes.
And a couple of times you'll see Randy kind of smirk and look away kind of thing. Like I just really enjoy it. And I hope that they continue it on. Last thing on my list this week. And obviously if you go after this to FightfulSelect.com, the list goes on. We are going to talk about Iron Mike Tyson. We're going to talk about Kenny Omega. Boy. Yep, we're going to talk about Kenny Omega. We're going to talk about Angel Garza. We're going to talk about the WWE Hall of Fame. So we're going to talk about all that. But the last thing, you broke a little bit of news about WWE and MLW. Do you have anything more on that?
I didn't break the news. Dave Meltzer broke the news, but it was disputed by another outlet. And I mean, I knew it to be true before it was disputed. Yes, there have been talks between WWE and MLW. They go very, very high up in the company. So there were people even in NXT who were left in the dark about this. But we've mentioned this in the past. If you're in MLW, you are on WWE's radar. It's proven. They've been willing to tamper in the past because you're on their radar. And the relationship between the two sides have been contentious in the past. I know that MLW had sent a legal threat WWE's way at one point over.
Forget that Bauer used to work there.
Yes,
Bauer used to work there forever. Yeah,
MLW swooped in and got that War Games trademark for a while, and
that's right,
very wisely because they made some money off of that.
Yeah,
but that is a thing that there have been talks. I'm going to have more on it in the future.
That to me is a win-win. That's a win-win. I don't know why you don't do that deal. Because MLW, you get added exposure. They're probably going to get a cash injection because I doubt they're going to do it all for free. So they're probably going to get a cash injection. Talent that's not getting enough ring time in the WWE system gets an extra place to work.
Yes.
It's a win-win. Like, why wouldn't you do that deal? So I expect we'll see it. And I know that there's certain guys in MLW that, you know, might look good in a WWE ring too.
Jacob Fatu.
Right. Him and Roman Reigns makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Mads Kruger. Leo Rush, we know, has looked good in a WWE ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might be an opportunity for him to get another shot, which would be very nice.
Yeah.
And Court Bauer is notoriously good at being like the wrestler whisperer. He's able to get people who are problematic and have trouble come in, work TV, at least for a period of time before they end up screwing up again. So.
Oh, you got Low Key. Good for him.
Low Key. Teddy Hart did it for a while.
Teddy Hart.
ACH. Leo Rush. Like, it's happened with a whole lot of people.
ACH is still there, yeah?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, but Teddy Hart's gone, yes?
Long gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Long gone. I'd be surprised if he's working anywhere. He was trying to get wrestlers during Mania weekend to give them hit the social security number, send them $6,000 via WhatsApp. He's weird.
We have a mutual friend, and I hear stuff.
Yeah.
It's all bad. I got to say. Yeah.
Almanac says, I love to hate on Triple H as much as the next man, but I honestly prefer his wrestling product and vision for the future for WWE. Thoughts. I like WWE's lighting and all that. I like NXT's camera work, basic production, and booking a lot better. But NXT has fallen into some of the same traps. Like Kyle O'Reilly's on his third title shot since the fall. I'm over it.
It feels like there's a lot of sameness in NXT. A lot. Although I like what they're doing with the women in the tag division and stuff, but it feels like there's a lot of sameness. So I agree with you on that. They need more. I don't know why they don't use main roster talent that's underutilized and bring them there. It's such a logical, easy thing to do, and they don't do it.
Yeah. Luis, I read this as Ross Sapp or Ross Crap at first. And I was like, are you mad at me? Why do you want Hammerstone to beat me up? Beza says, love they put Sasha in the SmackDown promo when we all see she's practically said, I'm not staying for this post-mania lull. See you at SummerSlam. Insert Sasha laugh. WWE's method, Jimmy, if they don't have plans for you at the top of the card, but they don't want to beat you, they just take you completely off TV. And
Yep.
I mean, that's good for some, but I think it's bad for a lot of others.
Jeff Hardy's on the main event taping all of a sudden.
More happened on main event this week. You got like Ali and Ricochet, and Ali set it up with a great promo. You got Jinder Mahal returning, Jeff Hardy returning, a new version of Indu Share popping up. I was like, what the? Why? I mean,
how was it a new version? I didn't see it. How was it a new version?
They replaced Sarav, the fellow who spoiled the Keith Lee thing last week. Yes. They've got a new. New fella, let me, Dilser Shanky is who it is, the big fella.
And how much time was Ali and Ricochet? How much time did they get?
I don't know. It hasn't aired yet.
Okay.
Jimmy Fingers 19 says, is Alexa Bliss actually going to be back in the ring as an in-ring competitor after being gifted Bray's gimmick? Thought they would have remained as a duo. Alexa and Lizzie Doll is not cutting it for me. Alexa's got a good gig. She's wrestled 8 times since like August or September, and that's what Fiend was doing as well. So. Yep. I don't think we're going to see much of her in the ring. I think they're going to keep doing this stupid, silly shit, which is also not doing it for me.
I mean, she's hinting now that she's got a plan in terms of her character. She's hinting. I posted a photo on social media. It was from the Edge and Christian show. When Edge and Christian, one is sitting on one side of Bray Wyatt, the other sitting on the other. They're pointing at him with a serious look. I put that picture on social media with the caption, are you just going to sit there and let her steal your gimmick? He's doing nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Like he literally went on television after Mania and said, I feel reborn. And then whoosh, that's it. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable how they fucked that up. It's crazy.
Guys, head over to FightfulSelect.com. We have the list goes on. Also, tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, join me over on Stephanie Chase's channel. You know her from Digital Spy, Wrestling Daily. We're going to be doing a bit of a Blood and Guts preview. So make sure you check that out. And then tonight, right after AEW Dynamite, we've got our AEW post show. And how about this? Tomorrow, you've seen 100 of them. So listen to the 101st interview this week with Jeff Jarrett. That's right. And I'm going to be doing interviews with talent from the 90s all month long. So check that out. But I did go out of my way to ask Jeff Jarrett things that he was not asked about in other interviews. Randy Savage in TNA, Monty Brown. We talked about a 1994 Royal Rumble that you never saw on TV. Why that happened. So, you know, we're taking care of you. Mike Proventure says the Alexa Bliss stuff is a lot better if you pretend Lily is the haunted spirit of Lily Tomlin. I don't think it's good whatsoever, but I respect your opinion, Mike.
I think maybe he's being sarcastic. I don't know, but it is so the same.
True.
Every week it's the same. And it's not Alexa's fault. She's doing what they're telling her to do. It's not her fault. It's the same. And it's just tired shit.
Also, I'm positive Lily Tomlin's still alive.
Yeah, she is.
Isn't she on like a big show right now?
I don't know, but she is. I think he was trying to be sarcastic.
Yeah, she's on like Grace and Frankie, isn't she? Isn't she?
I got no idea whatsoever.
My God. Guys, until next time, we're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.